Hello and welcome to the Equine Physio and the Rehabilitation Podcast. My name is Dr. Gillian Tabor. I'm a chartered physiotherapist and I specialise in the treatment and the rehabilitation of horses. In this podcast, I'd like to talk about asymmetry and straightness. I put out a short video on my social media and it gathered quite a lot of interest, so I thought it'd be worth expanding a little bit in a sort of podcast form, so that I could cover a few more of my thoughts in depth and also talk a little bit about some of the research and what we know and what we don't know, and also how it fits into rehab and training and our sort of understanding of what's normal and sort of what is not normal, what's functional and what's dysfunctional, and you know whether we can actually use that as our sort of guiding light with regards to trying to sort of optimize the performance in our horses. So basically, the term asymmetry is sort of branded around quite a lot, and sometimes it's quite unclear what people mean by it. So I thought I'd just start off with just trying to define a little bit to how it relates to horses and horse movement. Now, in sort of traditional veterinary assessments, a horse will be trotted up and the vet will be looking for lameness. And we've known for a number of years that when you've got a horse that is lame, if it's more lame on one side than the other, or it's comfortable on one side and uncomfortable on the other, then you will have an asymmetry of movement. And this results in certain compensatory patterns, which if the horse is very lame and is in a lot of pain, it can be quite easy to spot. So, for instance, a horse that has an abscess in one of its front feet, it's incredibly painful, it's not going to want to put its weight on the foot during the stance phase, and so what it does is it lifts its head up and over to the other side during the stance phase of the abscessed foot, and that means that you then get the head raised up, and then when the good foot, I will say good in air quotes, when a good foot goes down onto the ground, the head goes down. So this is where the head nod comes from with a forelimb lameness. And it's easy to spot when it's that bad that the nose and the head go down on the sound limb and up on the lame limb. So on a single forelimb lameness, that head nod presents as an asymmetry with the amount of up and downness of the head between each of the forelimbs being placed on the ground. Now, when it comes to a hind limb, it's a little bit more complex. You actually have what's described as a sort of hip hike and then a hip drop on the side that is lame and uncomfortable if it is a pain and a lameness during that stance phase. So basically, if you look at either side of the pelvis, one side will raise up more than the other in the same part of the stride of the hind leg. Now that can be, again, sort of simple to see when the horse is very lame, but harder to spot when there is a subtle lameness. And in fact, the horse does some funky things with their movement, so they'll shift their weight to the opposite side or they'll shift their weight forwards. And there's this compensatory patterning called the rule of sides, which means that the head nod in front can be made more obvious on one trot diagonal than the other if you've got a hind limb lameness. So basically, we're looking during lameness for any deviation of the normal symmetry between how high and low each side of the body or the head and neck rises and falls during the gait pattern. So traditionally, it is, as I said, easy to spot when you have got extreme lamenesses, but when you've got mild lamenesses, even with experienced professionals, there is some sort of confusion as to potentially which leg and also the extent of lameness is seen. And this has been published in the literature in the last sort of 20 years. There's been a few papers looking at agreement between vets when they're looking at lameness assessments, and unfortunately, it's pretty poor. Now, the reason for that is when you only get a slight difference, our eyes and our brains are quite poor at processing those differences. So when you've got a mild lameness, I don't know whether you've ever done it, when you know that there's something not right, you look at a horse trotting and one moment you think, oh, it's the right hind, and then you look again and you think it's the left hind, and then you can't quite see where it's coming from. Now, it might be that the lameness is shifting, but actually it's to do with our ability to perceive those changes. You know, our eyes and our brains aren't very good. So lameness assessment, you know, for a horse is tricky. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the fact that now we can use objective methods. So we can use video analysis. We can measure marker movement if they're put on horses. And also we've got these very clever systems that use motion sensor units that actually measure how high, you know, that part of the body is during each phase of the stride and how low it goes on the other phase of the stride, and it can measure the differences between the left and the right sides. Now, interestingly, the one that I've worked with, which is the Equigate system, actually the developers of it don't ever use the word lameness. They actually talk about the asymmetry and that there's a greatest asymmetry on the leg that we think is causing the issue. There's another device out there, the lameness locator, which, as its name suggests, is trying to identify which leg the asymmetry is coming from. And then we've got a couple more being produced from Europe that also measure asymmetries, but they measure not only body asymmetries and movement, but they measure limb asymmetries. Because you can appreciate that if you've got a painful leg during the middle of your stance phase, you're not wanting to be putting so much weight down through it. And so that can be measured as well if you've got motion sensor units on it. So I think that then sort of really explains why we're now using the word asymmetry, because these objective measurement methods are just producing numbers and telling us that there's an asymmetry, but it's not diagnosing a lameness. It's not actually, for instance, you know, locating it to pain from, I don't know, say a coffin joint or from a hock joint, something like that. All it's saying is that there is an asymmetry of movement. And because these systems are so much more sensitive than our eyes are, they can actually pick up very, very subtle asymmetries. And we're talking about, you know, less than half a centimetre difference between left and right. And there have been some suggestions that there is this sort of black cutoff line between what is okay and what is not okay. So although these thresholds as to when we think these asymmetries have gone beyond something that is normal and is now abnormal, these thresholds are frequently up for debate between the community that use these systems. And I saw a lovely diagram that explained this really well, that had, you know, had a continuum that on the left-hand side, there was sort of zero asymmetries, and then the asymmetries increased as you went across to the right-hand side. And a huge amount of asymmetry on the far right would not be normal. And there was this sort of portion in the middle where you had some normal horses that also had asymmetries. And they were sort of questioning this sort of grey area as to whether or not it was actually a problem. And there has been a few sort of letters to the editors in the Equine Veterinary Journal with groups of very experienced vets discussing where this threshold should be, and indeed whether there should actually be a threshold that we sort of use as a cutoff or not, or even just that conversation as to, would we ever see a horse on that diagram that I described being on the far left as having zero asymmetry? You know, is that actually possible? And if so, you know, is that what we are all trying to achieve with each of our horses? We know that there are horses that are performing to high levels that do have asymmetries. And so this idea that perfect is zero asymmetry is something that we haven't really got that trying to think about how I describe it, you know, the whether that is actually a realistic or feasible situation with any horses. We know actually when we think about people, we have got very detailed knowledge that we all present with asymmetries, and even in sort of normal high-performing athletes, we have different length bones, we have different angles as to the orientation of our joints, we have different sized joints, we have sometimes really differences between left and right sides, let alone between one person and another person. We're starting to build that evidence in horses as well. We've got some nice dissection studies that show asymmetries on vertebrae. They actually also can show asymmetries on bony lengths as well in horses. So a horse that has a difference in perhaps, say, the orientation of their hip socket on one side of their pelvis to the other side of the pelvis may show an asymmetry, but there's nothing you can do about it. You know, it is a bony sort of finality in the horse. There's nothing you can do to change that. We know that horses have pelvic asymmetries as well, you know, between the bony sizes. In humans, we have what we call a hemipelvis, where the distance between the sort of centre of the pelvis out to the bony prominences is different on the left and right sides. And so in people or horses with these bony asymmetries, there's never going to be 100% symmetry if we are able to measure and look for asymmetrical movements that are, you know, as small as 1 millimeter between left and right sides of gait. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about is moving on to another concept surrounding asymmetry, which is that of straightness and aiming to have your horse as straight as possible, and all our training revolving around straightness training in itself. And when it comes to having sort of asymmetries that affect our straightness, it's actually to do with how much bend we can have one way or another. So there's a lot of talk about the crooked horse. There are lots of books and there are courses on the internet all over about trying to help your horse have an equal bend to the left and right. This relates to the term that's used in the science community, which is laterality. And if we think about humans, we have laterality because we have a preference to use cutlery and to write and to do activities with mainly sort of one hand over the other. So I'm right-handed and I can't write with my left hand. I can hold a fork and I can sometimes brush my teeth with my left hand, but I'm very right-hand dominant. And we know from the research that horses also have this dominance. So if you have a dominance in the side that you want to use, or you have an asymmetry in your anatomy, you're going to struggle to be straight. And if you've got a horse that is, say, and again, I'm using air quotes, but is left bended and they weight their right for more, then it is going to send their quarters off in a different direction when you are trying to travel on a straight line. Also on a circle, a left bended horse is likely to fall out on a left circle, but be bent out and fall in on a right circle. And this is something that groundwork and in-hand dressage, in-hand schooling tries to, I can't say resolve, but tries to work on to try and even up that bend when you are on a circle. So there is, now I've covered that there is anatomical differences between left and right, and there is how we use our body, so what we call a motor laterality, which is difference between left and right. And also we have sensory asymmetries. So you probably have an eye that you find is more dominant. If you were going to close one eye and just look out of the other, one would be perhaps clearer or easier to focus than the other. You might have an ear that you feel you can hear better with. And we know that with horses, there is some research to say that they'll present one nostril, or they'll like to see scary things out of one eye in preference to the other. And potentially that could carry on all the way through the body in terms of how sensitive they are to touch, so to the tactile cues all along their body. You know, it might even go as deep as having more mechanoreceptors, so sort of sensory receptors in the skin on some areas of the body, different left and right as well. That I don't know, but I think there is bound to be neurological differences between left and right if we have got this evidence that there is sensory differences between left and right, and we know that there are motor laterality differences, and we know that there are anatomical differences left and right. So if we have got a horse or person or animal that has all these differences and is in essence functionally normal, but we put motion sensors on it and we find that there is asymmetry in their movement down to a few millimeters, can this be corrected, and should it be corrected? Well, I don't actually know the answer to that. Obviously, our goal with a lot of the training we do is to have them work equally to the left and right, so they bend equally left and right. They're as powerful on, say, one canter as they are on the other canter. And that's measured when we do a dressage test, because all the movements that we do one way happen on the other direction as well. And so the judge gets to see, you know, how is our 20 meter circle on the left compared with our 20 meter circle on the right? Is one a diamond and is the other a potato shape? And then when we jump, you know, we are going to have to land and turn and go either direction. And when you think about traveling at speed, say eventing, you know, we are going to have to jump and turn. And yeah, that even sort of the higher level sports, you know, the race horses, the, you know, the barrel racing, the faster sports all involve turning. So we really want the horse to be able to turn optimally to one direction as they do to the other direction. But saying that, whether it is feasible to have a horse that is 100% symmetrical, and whether that is appropriate to sell a course to somebody thinking that that's what they can achieve, I am not so sure. I also think that you know, if the process of trying to make your horse more symmetrical creates more problems, then we have to be cautious as well. It may be that the horse is moving in an asymmetrical manner because they are compensating for pain somewhere, in which case forcing them to be straight is, you know, is either going to highlight that, or if it's ignored and we force our horse to actually use a movement pattern that is uncomfortable for it, then that is something that we need to be careful about. If we've got a horse that has a known pathology in one limb or one side of their body, then maybe we should actually withdraw them from sports that require them to be symmetrical. So maybe being able to go straight or to perform, you know, only large turns, and also allowing them to move in a manner that allows them to not put too much load on an area that is actually, you know, pathological, it's got a problem. That also might be something that we need to consider. So, you know, if we've got a horse that's got osteoarthritis, yes, we need to move them, but do we need to force them to be as symmetrical as possible? Now, I don't know that the answer to that question. Obviously, we want to maintain mobility, we want to maintain muscle strength, but I'm not about trying to gain symmetry for the sake of chasing this holy grail that actually might not be necessary for having a functional horse. It's something that I'm interested in, and you know, when it is enough with some horses, that's a whole other area, isn't it? But yeah, I'm just exploring this idea of perfection over reality, and trying to be pragmatic about the fact that we're never going to have 100% symmetry. You know, no matter how hard a person would train, they're never going to be as, you know, symmetrical as to not have any asymmetry. But there's just a few thoughts of mine I wanted to put out in a bit of a longer format. And if you've got any sort of thoughts or comments, or you want to discuss this further, then please do head over to my social media. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Gillian Tabor Physio, and I'm on Facebook as the my name, Gillian Tabor, Equine Physio and Rehab. So yeah, really interested to hear your thoughts on it. And especially this idea of when is it appropriate to not be chasing symmetry and straightness? You know, is that something you've thought about before? Anyway, that's all from me now. Thank you very much for your attention and for listening, and hopefully to catch you again soon.